Mic check.
Mic check.
Now it's time to start the show. Now it's time to start the show.
Welcome to the Two Men Wolf Pack. Every week, running it back.
Beam and Web try to act like they know. Now it's time to start the show. Yo, for show. Let's go.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Two Man Wolf Pack. As always, my name is Adam, coming to you from my basement in Minneapolis. And dialing in from Chicago is my good friend,
Brian.
Brian, today is Sunday, April 9th, 2017. It's been a pathetic 20 days since our last podcast. The Wolves were also a pathetic 3-7 over the 20-day stretch, bringing our overall record to 31-48. We're 34 and a half games back of the Warriors for the one seed in the West and 8.5 games back of the Blazers for the eight seed in the playoffs. Given that there's three games left on our schedule, including the game tonight, I think we can safely say we're not making the playoffs. Not going to happen.
I think that's right. Probably not going to make it in this year.
No, not going to make it in this year. Crushed the under, our over under, we were talking off air before we started recording, but was about 40.5 on the year. Even if we win the remaining three games, which I doubt we will, we'd end the year at 34. People who bet the under are looking pretty smart. I think I predicted a solid over on that number, and I'm looking pretty dumb. How about you, Brian?
Well, how about what did I predict?
Yeah, what'd you predict?
You know, I'm forgetting. I think the number I came up with was about 39 based on us, once we did a detailed look at the schedule. I think the number I had was somewhere between 36 and 39, because even that would have been a 10-game improvement, which felt like a lot. So, I feel like I was reasonably optimistic, and I was a little disappointed, but not crazy far off.
Yeah, I was. I think I predicted between, 42 and 46, so I look pretty dumb.
Not dumb. You just got caught up in the exuberance of all the other NBA folks. And we probably didn't think enough about the time it takes to turn around a young team once you get a new coach. Like some coaches like a Scott Skiles are known for coming in right away. The win total jumps up 6 years. But Tibbs had some professionals in Chicago when he came in there. Like Noah was a great defender and Rose was amazing. And he just had some things that we didn't necessarily have here, and we frankly have had no vets, and we've talked about this all season, but that's really what happened.
Yeah, our team was really young. The vets we brought in a playoff to come off the bench pretty much to a T all were really bad. I know you're trying to come up with reasons for the season, but let me just rant for a second. I mean, it was a really bad season. We won 29 games last year. I'm guessing we're going to end this year winning about 32 games. It's tough, you know. It's tough when you have a young team and you have a top five draft pick, essentially, and you bring in the best free agent coach, and you essentially have the exact same year you had the year prior. It's discouraging as a fan.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I think we expected a much bigger jump. And I think that, two big things. One, the rookie we added, let's be honest, hasn't really helped at all.
No, he did not. He didn't help the team at all this year. And I've been a Chris Dunn fan the whole time. I thought we should draft him, and when we did, I was very pleased. He had a really bad year. He was really bad this year.
Yeah, and there was a lot of optimism after the summer league when he looked really good. I thought he was going to kind of come in and be able to score on some fools and play good defense, which he has actually exceeded expectations on defense. He's amazing at defense. He's probably already our best defender.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
But on offense, he just really can't do anything. He's he really only shoots when he's wide open. And even then, he's kind of a mediocre shooter. So huge disappointment on that end. Like, doesn't really create for others. He just can't go by guys, which I don't really get because he's supposed to be a good athlete. And other players even recognized that when he came in. You know, he was voted by the other players as most likely to be rookie of the year, which is pretty crazy. But so top five pick gave us nothing. And I think we also learned that an NBA team can't support starting four bad defenders.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's getting back to friend of the pod, Jonathan Charks, his article from a few weeks back. He basically said three bad defenders seems to be okay for the Wolves, but four is really the tipping point where they fall off a cliff. And I think we've seen that. You know, obviously some bright spots on the season. Karl-Anthony Towns, really nice year. put up in the last, let's see, the last 3 months, he's averaged 28 points a game on 59, 42, 85 shooting. I mean, pretty incredible numbers. He's had a great offensive season. You know, frankly, surpassed my high expectations of him. Ricky Rubio had, as I think objectively, had the best year of his entire career this year. It's funny. If you would have told me those two things would have happened prior to the year beginning, I'd be like, man, we're going to be like the sixth seed in the playoffs. And everything else went wrong. And that's too bad. Anyways, Brian, before we get too deep into it, I want to do a brief agenda, traditional agenda this week. We got our news and notes. We have a Where Are They Now segment followed by a mailbag. Before we get into it, though, further, Brian, I believe you have a pretty good athletic update. Did you finish your half marathon? And if you did, are you the new world record holder?
Yes and yes. I think we can move on.
Congratulations.
I finished it. It was yesterday morning. I managed to make it the whole way without stopping to walk, which is the first time I've done that for a half marathon. So
when you drink water, do you keep running while you drink?
I don't drink water.
You don't drink anything the whole 13 miles?
No, like mile 4, I had a little bit of water and I tried to drink it without stopping and I choked a lot. It's just like pouring water into my throat. So that didn't work. So I had to slow down and walk a little bit. But yeah, after that, I didn't really stop again. And so, because I didn't want to stop, because I knew if I stopped, I couldn't start once I hit mile like 9. I just kept going.
Man, what was your time?
2 hours and 15 minutes.
That's a respectable time. So I've done 3 half marathons, and that was pretty much my time within 5 minutes every time.
Oh, nice. Congratulations to you.
Yeah, hey, thank you. I'll take it. That's a good time, though. That's like a legit, you're like moving the whole time at an okay pace.
Yeah, I feel good about that.
Could have you gone another one? Do you think you could have done a marathon?
No, that was the other lesson. So like as I was doing it, I was thinking, do I want to do a marathon? And the answer was absolutely not.
Well, you've done a marathon.
Yeah, I know. But I meant like do it because I thought about, you know, using this. What I did last time was use a half marathon to get in shape and then run a marathon. But I just realized like at mile like 9, my feet kind of hurt and I was tired. And I was like, no, you know, I don't want to do 2 of these. Like this is enough. This is a healthy distance. And I think I'm good doing these for the rest of my life.
So if someone stood at the finish line and they're like, Brian, congratulations, you've been selected. We will pay you X amount of dollars if you can finish a whole marathon in the next, let's say, 3 hours, 15 minutes. What is X for you? $1,000?
To like, what? 3 hours and 15 minutes?
Yeah, so you have an additional 3 hours and 15 minutes to go another 13.2 or 13.1.
So the question you're asking is like, what's the amount of money that I would have to get paid to train to do a marathon at like a pretty slow pace like I did last time?
No. So man, if we weren't over Skype right now, I'd draw a diagram. It would involve a stick figure with a bag of money.
Convoluted question.
All right. I didn't think it was that weird, but let me slow down and back up. So you finished your half marathon yesterday. There's a guy standing at the finish line who says, Brian, you have 3 hours and 15 minutes to go another half marathon.
Oh,
so another 13.1 miles.
I couldn't have done it in 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What if he's like, I'll give you $100,000 if you can do it? You don't think you could have
done
it?
I would try super hard. You're just asking what's the dollar amount to make me try?
I guess. You really don't think you couldn't have done it?
No. Like, my feet really hurt. It was a struggle just to get to 13.1. Like, and also, I was really pissed at the end because they had the finish line, but the way the race was set up, you like approach the finish line and then you take a hard left and loop around for another half mile.
What?
So like the finish line is you like approach the finish line from the back.
So the course was basically like a half mile too short, so they had to add some distance.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was a huge tease when you're really tired and you're like, oh my god, I was like, oh, I'm like a little faster than I thought. Maybe I'm energized. All these people sprinting to the finish, and then I was like, get there, and it was a hard left. I was like, oh my god, that's so unfair.
Well, congratulations on finishing it in a pretty respectable time. That's good work.
Thanks, dog.
Yeah, No problem.
How about you? What's up with your athletic lifestyle?
You know, I've been my normal run the last couple weeks has been 7 miles. I've been running that about 5 times a week, kind of ramping up slowly towards my October marathon. It's been nice. Man, the weather has me in a good mood. It's really nice to run when it's like 60 to 70 degrees out instead of like, you know, I run outside in the winter when it's like 20 and you got to have all this gear on and it kind of sucks because you're cold. And it's a whole different experience now. I love it.
Oh, good. Yeah, this was pretty amazing weekend. Like here it was yesterday we hit 70. We're outside a lot of the day. Today was great. Oh, I was at the Twins Sox game yesterday.
Oh, so you're their bad luck charm. First loss of the year.
First loss of the year. Things started out good. We had 3 guys on base in the first with one out, and then you know, didn't really turn up from there.
Man, I'm surprised you even know what a base is. You're like not a baseball fan at all.
Well, baseball's the worst sport objectively, so.
Isn't it kind of fun to just like go and hang out though, even if you don't care about the game?
Yes, a baseball game on a nice day is a really great activity.
Yes. Completely agree. I'm excited to bring my son to a game. We're going to do that pretty soon.
One day.
So, Brian, I'm here watching the Masters. Currently, the two leaders are on the 18th hole. It looks like it'll be decided within a few minutes.
Is it close? Should I actually turn this on?
Yeah, I think it's within a stroke. It is close. What are your thoughts on golf? Do you watch golf?
Golf is super boring.
Yeah, I think golf is like easily the worst sport to watch among the major, let's say, 6 sports or something. I don't know.
Throwing in soccer?
In there. What's that?
You throwing in soccer?
Yeah,
number
I'm throwing
five?
In soccer. Yeah. Oh, soccer is way better to watch than golf.
Oh, for sure.
But here's my problem with golf, right? I mean, it is what it is, right? So if you like watching it, whatever. I hate the pageantry around it. It's so self-important how like they have the like epic classical music when they go to commercial and they fade back in and the announcer whispers like he's like at the hole with them, even though he's in some like, you know, cabin, not even close to them.
Yeah, and, that's true, actually.
And just like there's too many golfers to really know all of them. So like the two leaders right now are actually fairly notable. But
wait, co-leader?
Yeah.
They're tied?
They are tied now. Yeah, it looks like Justin Rose and Garcia.
Oh, so Rose, okay.
Anyways, those are the two guys left are like actually two of the probably most famous, I don't know, 20 golfers. But usually there's like some guy I've never heard of as sort of a casual watcher. And like the crowd just cheers for everyone equally. And I don't even know what they're there for. And I hate how you have to be quiet when they shoot. You know, like in baseball, do you know how hard it is to hit like a 100-mile-an-hour fastball? It's way harder than like hitting a good golf shot. And like the fans can be as loud as they want. I feel like they should let the fans loose in golf.
I think the golf fans are already obnoxious enough. How they like shout, oh my God, he missed it. Oh my God.
Was that to win?
That was to win. Oh my God.
Look at the guy in the background.
Oh man, I wonder if he's betting on it. The guy looks really pissed. Sergio is super pissed. He has to like calm down and make this. He just wants to shout at his caddy. Did you see him look at someone right after he missed it?
Yeah.
Oh my God. He's so flustered he might miss this.
Yeah, I know. This is making kind of bad pod, but we're gonna do this because it's all right.
Oh, that was like a little far left.
I'm kind of happy that happened. I love a little playoff. I hope.
Oh, he's so pissed at the caddy. Oh my God, what a dick.
I hope they play one more hole. Oh, no, they're acting like they don't.
And the Masters is over. We have 2 winners.
No, like some of these tournaments, they play a whole nother round the next day.
No, and it's not a whole nother round.
First playoff hole. Good. Okay. No, they seriously do.
Back
they
to
play
basketball.
A whole nother round the next day. I don't know which one that is, but it's dumb.
I think you made that up. But
no, I didn't. Look it up. Also, I'm not quite done with my golf rant. I hate how they have these traps like ooh, you didn't sign your scorecard in the right spot. Looks like that's gonna be 2 strokes. Like, ooh, you slightly incorrectly dropped your ball. That's 3 strokes. Like, why don't they get rid of all the bullshit rules and just let the guys play golf and not have to worry about the stupid little intricacies of the rules? Who's against that?
I don't know. There's not even. I don't even think it's like baseball where there's purists who like really dumb old rules, but. Golf. I was distracted. I forgot. I thought we're on a basketball podcast. But on golf, I don't think there's anyone that's like, oh man, you can't let them not sign the scorecard.
I know, I don't understand. And my favorite is there's literally people at home who watch it, and when they see a rules violation, they'll call in, and then the rules people at the tournament will investigate call-ins, and like they'll penalize the players. And I don't know, just let them play.
Yeah, I don't know. That's ridiculous. Who cares? Who's the guy calling in and it's like, hey, I think you guys should really know this.
Yeah, I know. Such a self-important jerk. Just mad he's not great at golf and can't play. Anyways, that's my golf rant. This lasted too long. We'll get back to the playoff hole. Brian, should we get in some Timberwolves news and notes?
Sure, if there are any.
You know, there's a few. I brought up Towns having a really nice 3 months. And I wanted to ask you, Brian, is there any chance he makes an All-NBA team and have to be the third team? But any chance?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance. I mean, let's talk about it right now. I mean, the other centers that have a legitimate chance right now are, obviously, I think Gobert is probably the number one in my mind. The other thing that could make a difference is if you're putting Anthony Davis at center, then yes, he's number one. Do you think people should do that or not?
I don't know. I kind of hate that positions in the NBA have become more blurred. That's not what I hate, but I hate how you then have to award the players based on their positions.
I know. This is one of the few legacy ones they haven't changed yet, but I don't know. For some reason, I don't hate it. Because even the All-Star game, they've gone away from positions, which... I don't know. Yeah, for some reason, all NBA, it doesn't bother me because it's like a team of five guys at these positions. Maybe, you know, I don't have a great logic behind it. It just doesn't bother me.
So it sounds like you think he's going to get third team.
Well, let's talk about it. So I think it's probably Davis if he's center. I don't think most people will put him at center, but I think there's a decent chance because it just makes it easier because he probably deserves to be in one of the spots and there's so many good forwards. So I think it's probably Davis, and then I think Gobert is probably number two. Just advanced stats show his defense is amazing, and his win shares are huge.
Yep, and his team's way better. That's yeah, gonna be worth a lot.
Yeah, his team's way better when he plays, and they're going to be probably, I can't remember if it was four or five seed right now. But yeah, so they're really good. So I think he makes that, and then it's down to Boogie or Cat. Maybe yeah. Marcus Saul?
Yeah, it probably is down to Boogie and Cat. And I don't think you can put Boogie in there with Anthony Davis.
No, and weird. I think Boogie's also kind of shown that, like, dude's not really good for your team.
That's true. That's very true. How about, one of the lesser guys on better teams, like Horford or DeAndre Jordan?
I think DeAndre Jordan's the other one with legitimate chance.
Whiteside, also no. Miami's come on strong.
Definitely not Whiteside.
Okay.
I think Whiteside's kind of seen as empty calories. Yeah, I think the only one there's Gasol, but Gasol's numbers kind of suck. Like, he's become a way better three-point shooter this year and still moves the ball well, but, like, not averaging 20 points. Only gets 6 rebounds per game, which doesn't really make sense as a center. And it's kind of weird this year. I don't know if you've noticed this, but no one talks about the Grizzlies ever. Anymore.
I have noticed that, actually. It's kind of weird. Yeah, they're like a couple NBA podcasts and they never talk about them.
Yeah, and they used to talk about them all the time. It's like, oh, they're kind of interesting, you know, they scrap the guys together, Zach Randolph still has it, blah blah blah. But like, this is the year where everyone's like, yeah, don't care about the Grizzlies. Like, I don't know if Mike Conley's healthy, I don't know if Gasol plays anymore. So I don't think he'll make it because of that, and they just kind of like actually run right at expectations. So, yeah, so I think Towns is maybe like 51%.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's pretty good. I actually thought he's probably a slight dog just because there's a couple other guys who could get it besides him. So I put him at like 35 to 40%.
I think your number's probably more accurate, but I feel good about it.
We're both biased as Wolves fans, but I really think he deserves it.
He's such a stud. Like, he's going to finish the season with
a monster year and a monster finish. Yeah. The big knock is defensively and the fact that our team's really bad.
That's true. There's that half the game where he's absolutely awful.
that's true, but no one talks about those stats.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about defense. Yeah, I don't know, man. But yeah, he's going to average like 25 and 12 shooting, what, like 60, well, ending the season, like the back half of the season, he's averaged something insane, like 60, 40, 90.
Yeah, the last 3 months, 59, 42, 85.
Jesus Christ. Like, as a center.
28 points a game.
Yeah, he's a dude's a beast. So, I don't know. I don't think anyone would feel bad putting him on their team unless they're just like, this team is for winners. Only winners on here.
Yeah, I agree. It's it'll be an interesting year to see how it shakes out. Also interesting, Brian, this isn't Wolves related unless you think Towns should be in the MVP race. But who's your MVP this year?
So I think it should be Russ. And a few reasons. So reason number one, I think this is going to be the kind of obviously the year that Russ averaged the triple double, unless he goes on to do this for the next like 2 or 3 years, and then he probably won't win again. But I think this is kind of the year where everyone's like, would you agree that this is one of those records that we never thought would be broken, or like no one else would average a triple double again?
I think I'd see it. Yeah, it's insane.
I didn't either, especially because like LeBron never did it, and I was like, oh well, if anyone was going to do it, it was going to be LeBron.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised LeBron never did it, actually. Yeah, he's just a little too unselfish, probably.
Yeah, I think he legitimately cares more about winning than the stats most of the time. So, yeah, I just didn't think we would ever see this, and it's happening, and he's carrying his team to, a 5 seed. So it's pretty impressive, and I do think that he gets a little too much credit for being, you know, the best player on a bad team, or the only good player on his team. Like, his team's not that bad, like, Oladipo's good. Steven Adams is good. Cantor off the bench. Cantor's good. You know, it's not like he's just doing everything by himself.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm really torn. I think I'd probably give it to Russ as well, but I think the other really strong candidate is James Harden, in my opinion. His team's going to win about 8 or 9 more games, it looks like. Put up similar numbers, didn't average a triple-double, but his stats are pretty impressive. He also was more efficient than Russ. Russ only shot 42% from the field this year. Harden's at 44%. Harden averaged 11 assists and 8 rebounds. So he's only 2 rebounds per game shy of averaging a triple-double as well. I feel like if it wasn't for Russ, like Harden's season would be talked about constantly as like an amazing season.
Yeah, he's having an all-time season too.
Yeah, just a ridiculous season. I think I would give it to Russ, though, but it's tough, right? Like, if you take Russ off of Oklahoma City, how many games do you think they win? 20?
35?
Yeah. You take Harden off of the Rockets, they probably still win, like, 35-40?
No. I think they get way worse without him.
Interesting. Shouldn't that be a case? Shouldn't you be lobbying for Harden then?
Yeah. I mean, I think Harden probably should be the MVP, but I think Russ, just by crossing that 2-rebound threshold that Harden didn't cross, I think it's just more impressive, and it's kind of his season. And there's a better narrative around it.
Yep, that's true. All right. Well, I don't have a vote. Do you have a vote? I don't know if you got credentialed, Brian. Maybe you have a vote.
Nope.
Anyways, if I did, it would go towards Westbrook.
Fair enough.
Go ahead.
No, that's it. It's one of those seasons where you can't go wrong. Like Kawhi, you could argue he's not going to win. You know, it's going to be one of those two dudes. But like Kawhi scores a lot and is probably the best defender in the league. It's also very impressive. And then, I think you could also make a case for LeBron because he's just the best player on a really good team that's going to make the finals again. But that's
you know what's funny? Like pretty much everyone thinks LeBron's the best player. But like he's not even gonna come close to winning the award, I think.
No, I don't think so either.
All right. Let's bring it back to the Wolves, Brian. The Wolves new logo and jersey is going to be unveiled this coming Tuesday. Zach Lowe tweeted out that he thinks he has seen it and he thinks it's a large improvement over the current one. Scale 1 through 10, how excited are you for the new logo?
Honestly, excited. You know, like a 2.
Wow. Okay. I'm much higher than that. I'm probably like a 6, I think.
I think it's cool. I just don't get that jazz. Like, last time we thought we were going to get logos, new jerseys are going to be super cool. It's just kind of like, hey, okay.
Yeah, if I was like a little younger, I think I'd be more excited, but I agree. I do have a couple, like, I'm wearing a Timberwolves hoodie right now, actually, and it's going to be dated real soon. I don't like that.
Or it's going to become a throwback. I mean, super sick.
Oh, good point. Very good point. You know what's funny? Quick story about this hoodie. I was wearing this hoodie when my son was born, and I still get some about it, you know, that I was wearing a Timberwolves hoodie when my son entered the world.
Yeah, you could have worn, like, a nicer hoodie or a sweater, maybe. Just for the occasion.
Yeah, I could have. You know, I also think it's kind of cool. Well, for one, it's like when it's a long labor, you're not sure when it's going to happen, right? So really, I was just in some comfy clothes. And then when it happens, it's like, oh my God, it's happening. It's not like, okay, it's happening. Let me go change my shirt. I'm going to go put on a proper sweater. It's just kind of like, it's what I had on, okay?
Okay.
No regrets.
No regrets.
Do you have any other news or notes, Brian?
One thing I wanted to talk about was that The Ringer, one of our favorite sites, in an article by Kevin O'Connor, he did a power ranking of the bad teams in the NBA, so the bottom 10 teams, and he put the Wolves as the second. And it's kind of a mix of how they're playing now and how they look in the future. But they number one was the 76ers. Number two was the Wolves. Three was the Pelicans. Four was the Suns. Adam, how do you feel about that ranking?
You know, before this season, I would have had a pretty big beef that the Wolves weren't number one. But given that we improved by three games this year, it's actually probably fine. Like, we probably shouldn't be number one.
Yeah, I agree. No, we definitely shouldn't be number one. The Sixers look pretty good this year, and they're going to get, like, two top 10 picks this year. They're probably going to get the Lakers pick. And Embiid looks really nice, and Simmons is coming. Like, the Sixers are pretty scary.
Do you see that article? Like, Ben Simmons, like, reportedly grew 2 inches. He's 7 feet tall
no,
now.
No, I didn't see that. What?
Yeah, I read an article yesterday. He's growing somehow, and he's legit, like, 7 feet tall now.
Oh, my God.
And he's still going to play point guard.
Why not?
I don't get it. When did you stop growing, Brian? How do all these guys grow when they're like 21?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure I stopped growing when I was like 16.
HGH?
I don't know. It's super weird.
That's.
There's one more thing we should talk about, Brian.
Which is?
Bozzy being Bozzy. So, I got to make sure I use the right words in telling this story, but allegedly, according to brobible.com, Shabazz Muhammad flew an Instagram model out to meet him for a fun time at night during a game where we on the road versus Portland. And then allegedly, he did not fly her back home after the night. So she allegedly, according to brobible.com, reached out to his known long-term girlfriend and sort of told her what happened and asked for her to get in touch with him so she could get a flight back home. So this is all alleged, according to brobible.com. But I got to say, like, on a scale of 1 through 10, this story was like a 10 for me. I don't know. I don't have a lot to say other than I love the juicy gossip. And of all the guys on the team to allegedly do something like this, it seems like Bozzy might be number one.
Wait, why would Bozzy allegedly be number one?
Who would you put number one in more likely to do it? I just, so going back to when Bozzy was in the like NBA, whatever, when players get drafted, they have to attend like a 2-day thing. And like, there's basically no rules. The only rules are be back by curfew and don't bring girls to the dorm room. And he violated both. And
that's fair. Yeah, I actually totally forgot about that.
Yeah. It just makes me think maybe he'd be allegedly more likely to do it.
Allegedly. Okay, fair. I actually totally forgot about that. I feel like if I were to pick someone, be like an experienced vet, because they would like they would understand the logistics really well after all the years in the league and learning from other vets. So I would have guessed maybe like I don't know, like a Brandon Rush or something.
Okay, interesting. I still put Bozzy number one.
I don't think you'd be right.
I really would.
I don't know how brobible.com got a hold of all these, like, text messages.
No, they were – one of the alleged participants in this had supposedly, I believe, tweeted them or posted them on Instagram.
Oh, which alleged participant? Was this the one who –
The recipient, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I can't not smile. 10 out of 10, man.
I just love, like, she's stuck in Portland. like, what more can you want?
Let's move on. you have any other newsworthy items, Brian?
You know, I think that's it. The other piece of news, not news really, the other thing I wanted to call out is apparently we only play the Lakers and the Blazers. In the past, like, 12 games, we played both teams three times, which is pretty absurd. So maybe the NBA could work on that next year.
I think the NBA probably could work on that next year. I agree. It's almost like they realized we didn't play them enough, and they're like, oh, shoot.
Oh, shit. We got to fit these in.
Don't they just use some software program?
No. I bet it's actually, like, a ton of work to do this every year.
Really? I feel like if they, like, have a team of people doing it, they're doing it wrong. Isn't this, like, a perfect problem for software?
Yeah, but you still have to go through and rate them. Yeah, they probably do it with software in some respect.
You could literally just, like,
but...
rate the teams and then put in the distances they have to travel and, like, factor in the national TV games and, like, click a button.
Yeah, maybe. Just right. Click a button. It's so easy.
Just click a button. So when you're at a golf tournament, why do you cheer for everyone? What's the point of being there?
You're rooting for golf.
I've never seen anything like it. There's, like, no other event where you just sit there and clap for, like, 5 hours straight.
A marathon. A marathon is the other event.
Good point. A little different situation, though. In a marathon, there's, like, 10 competitors, and everyone else is there for themselves.
Okay.
A little different situation here. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, maybe stop watching golf then if you hate it so much.
Well, the Masters, they just, like, I don't know. It's so in your face. How
it's a tradition unlike any other.
Augusta is. I have to, like, have it on.
Okay.
Let's move on. You ever Where Are They Now, Brian?
I do, and I don't think that it's one that we've done.
Totally awesome. Where Are They Now?
All right, I'm excited. Let's do it. I'm really bad at these, so hopefully I can get this one.
You know, I think it's the role reversal that messes them up, because I always feel like I'm really bad at giving them.
All right, well, maybe we're just both bad at this. But you go. I'll stop you when I know who it is.
Okay. It's a man, began his professional career in 1996 with the Greek basket league club Peristeri. He became the first ever to win back-to-back Italian league championships on two different teams with Bologna, with Fortitudo Bologna and Virtus Bologna. He was selected as the 30th overall pick by the Los Angeles Clippers in the 2000 NBA draft. He was traded to the Timberwolves in August of 2005 along with Lionel Chalmers, in exchange for one of the Wolves players and a future first round pick. He was later traded to the Grizzlies in 2008.
By the way, can you stop there? Like, this guy better be really good. We gave him a first round pick. Such a stupid trade. Okay, go on.
He was later traded to the Grizzlies in June of 2008 in an 8-player deal involving rookie guard OJ Mayo and rookie forward Kevin Love. In 2009, it was agreed by him and the Grizzlies that he would not attend training camp or any of their games, which I would love to see that conversation. and he was granted permission to seek a new team and a contract buyout for 2 years and $15 million remaining. Obviously, that never came because if he was bad enough where they didn't want him, no one really wanted to sign him for that much. So he went to go play for Real Madrid, where he was in the 2009-2010 season. And then in 2011, he signed with Italian club Siena, where he finished his where he last played in 2011. In October 2012, he signed with the Chicago Bulls. However, he was laid 1 week later. In 2013, he signed with the Brooklyn Nets and was waived 1 month later. Fun fact, this will help you. He holds a Greek citizenship under the name Marco Latsis, where he played basketball under this other name in Greece, and recently divorced from his wife, supermodel Adriana Lima.
Oh, this is Marco Yarek?
Yeah.
Oh, for some reason I'm like, I thought it might be him. I'm like, no way he was drafted in 2000.
Yeah, apparently played for the Clippers for like 4 years.
Wow, I had no idea.
He's like your favorite all-time player, right?
I know, yeah. Obviously, when I saw the list of players, I'm like, well, we got to do Marco Yarek. also, super weird that he had another last name with a Greek citizenship, and he played basketball under that name in Greece.
It's really weird.
Right? So, I'm sure you're wondering, where is he now? So, right now, pretty sure he lives in Miami, where he has a lot of money because he made, you know, probably close to $50 million playing basketball. So good for him. He often spends time with his two little girls, with former wife Adriana Lima. They divorced in 2015. It is alleged by numerous news outlets that they had a split because of infidelity on Marco's part, which seems crazy, but he's looking at his pictures. He's just a ridiculously good looking guy. I'm sure he doesn't have to try very hard.
He's like outkicked his coverage more than anyone I've ever.
You think so? I think he's very handsome.
Really? Well, obviously he's like tall and in really good shape, but like his facial features probably aren't traditionally like good looking.
Man, maybe I'm totally wrong. Nah, he's handsome. You can't take this from me.
Okay.
And what does he do now in terms of career? Really nothing. I think he travels a lot. He's got a lot of tweets where he likes to go see DJ Ronnie Cycli. So sometimes he'll travel to Ibiza, back to Miami. A couple of years ago, he sat courtside at the Heat game. And yeah, professionally really doesn't do much. But you know what? Dude doesn't have to.
Good for him. I remember when we traded for him, you were more excited than maybe I've ever seen you.
Well, he was a European guy who was supposed to be able to shoot threes, but turns out he never could.
Yeah, he wasn't good at a lot other than picking up supermodels.
Well, I mean, like, who are we to criticize him? He made like $50 million and only dated supermodels.
Yeah, he's probably objectively more successful than both of us. But
I'm sure a lot of NBA players would be like, you know what? I'd wish I'd be a little bit worse if I just did what Marco Yarek did.
Well, Bozzy allegedly just flies on Instagram models.
That's true.
That's great. Well, that's a good one.
That's where he is now.
Marco, just living it up. By the way, it looks like Sergio Garcia won. The crowd seems happy because someone won.
Now they can go home.
they're clapping because there's a winner. I don't get it. All right, should we move to some mailbag, Brian?
Let's do it.
You've got mail.
Let's do it. Guys, 4 emails this week from 2 people, one of whom is my brother and the other whom is a longtime listener, Mark. Come on, guys. Please send us emails, timwolvespodcast@gmail.com, or tweet at us @twolvespodcast. We know we've been, pretty delinquent in getting on an episode and apologize for that. We'll not let 20 days go by before the next one. First email is from Mark. Mark, thank you for the email. I love them as always. He even added a gift to this one, which is pretty fantastic. He says, Adam and Brian, the pendulum has swung wildly for me in the last couple of weeks. From a sense of real optimism in the Wolves became the talk of the league post All-Star break, back to the stark reality of losing 6 straight and understanding that Omri Caspi will not be our savior off the bench. However, I'm coming around to the realization that the Wolves are back in the lottery mix and Thibs must be finding a real sense of purpose during these last dozen or so games. The evidence from last night's game against the Blazers. He copy-pasted minutes played. Payne, 8 minutes. Bozzi, 20. Caspi, 18. Cole Aldrich, 5. Tyus, 23. Chris Dunn, 29. Basically, Tibbs has stretched our rotation from a lot of games this year. We played 8 guys. That was kind of our standard thing. And now all of a sudden, he's playing 11 guys. Clearly, he doesn't care as much if we win these games. Anyways, his question is, since I can't stand to see another losing season, which quality veteran should the T-Wolves trade that pick for? Brian, your thoughts?
Should we trade the pick four?
Yeah, Rick is a, you know, his question implies he strongly favors us trading the pick. If we do that, what type of player should we get? Who should we get?
I think that's fair. I'd like to get a wing player who can play defense. I just want a 3-and-D wing. That's all that I want. We just can't start, again, we just can't start like our current crop of guys and no one can play defense besides Ricky, who's like an average defender. So I think that's where we need the most help. I think Towns will develop into a better defender because I think he wants to get good. So I'm not as concerned about him long term. So yeah, so I'd like to see us get a wing guy who can start alongside Wiggins and bring Zach off the bench.
I totally agree. I'm good with that. I mean, I wouldn't mind a defensive-minded center-type player. Norland's Noel was had for nothing, basically, at the trade deadline. I don't know why we couldn't have gotten in on that. Someone like that, I'd be fine with. Good question, though.
Yeah. Norland's Noel still bothers me. Like, Dallas just got him for almost nothing. Whenever there's a deal like that, I know there's 29 teams who didn't get that deal, but why didn't we get that deal?
I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
Like, who says no? Like, who can't give a little bit better offer? I just don't really get it.
Yeah, we unpacked that a bit when it happened, and I'm still perplexed. Next email is also from Mark. Mark, thank you for the email. He said, hey, guys, after back-to-back wins over the Pacers and Lakers, things aren't looking good for the Wolves in the race to tank. But after viewing their all-time lottery history, I've come to the conclusion that no matter how many ping pong balls they end up with, we really shouldn't expect much. Given that they have never, ever, ever improved their draft position in the lottery, should we really give a shit if they win too many games down the stretch? Instead, I think you should start a new segment over the last 8 games. Let's call it Things to Be Excited About. I'll give you 2, and you guys can fill in the last 3. Number 1, chance to buy new T-Wolves gear after the new logo comes out on April 11th. Number 2, with all his burgeoning shooting ability and increased desire to attack the rack, maybe La Pistola, yes, another awesome nickname that you guys are free to use, will spend less time on the bench and more time in the gym. 3, 4, 5 are blank, Brian. And number 6 is, come May 16, we all be like, and he added the GIF from Dumb and Dumber, so you're telling me there's a chance.
That's awesome. That's really funny.
Really good email. Thank you, Mark. Brian, what's a thing to be excited about?
Yeah, let's fill in 3, 4, and 5. Karl Anthony Towns being the best offensive big man in the NBA right now. That's pretty cool, right?
That is very cool. Yes. And
not just centers, but granted, like, everyone who's not a center now just plays like a swingman anyways, like all the power forwards playing the perimeter. But no, I think he's been phenomenal on offense and, you know, just has some work to do on the other side of the ball, which I do think he'll work on. So I'm not as worried about him. It's not like Wiggins where it's already too late. That's a joke. He's 21.
Yeah, I know. I'd say this is going to be a little controversial, but Chris Dunn no longer being a rookie point guard. The track record of rookie point guards in the NBA is not great. And I know Chris Dunn is a little older than some of the other rookies coming out nowadays, but given that he has a year of NBA experience under his belt, he has a offseason to improve and reflect. I'm optimistic he's going to be able to contribute next year.
Yeah, he can't get worse. Let's be real. I think he already understands defense. All he has to do is get a lot better at offense. He just has to get more comfortable attacking guys. Like, he can't get by anyone. And that's why he doesn't get any assists and doesn't really get any points. So I agree. He literally couldn't be much worse on offense than he was this season. Then I'll go 3. What else should we be excited about? You know what? I'm pretty excited for a draft pick. I mean, we're going to get probably the 8th pick in one of the deepest drafts in a few years. And I think we can probably get someone pretty good at that spot.
Yeah, I think right now we might even be slated for like the 6th pick.
Really?
Yeah. In any case, we're gonna get a decent pick. And yeah, right now we have the 7th worst record in the league. Sorry.
It's fine. Close enough.
Yeah, I think that is something to be excited about. Something, you know, Mark, maybe not you because you live overseas, but I'm excited about living in Minnesota is the new stadium to be completely done after this summer. The lobby is gonna be improved. The concourse is gonna be improved. They're supposed to have new.
You said about the lobby?
I'm most excited about the seats. They're gonna redo those gross seats. That'll be nice. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to have an arena that you look forward to going to and you can be proud of.
I just want better food. Like, it's so easy to fix the food.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Right? They've got to be in some bad contract with some lazy vendor because it just doesn't make sense right now why it's so bad.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, basically, there's like two companies that do most of the food in Minnesota, and they're under contract with one of them.
Fair enough.
Next email is from Paul. Paul, thank you for the email. Appreciate it. He linked to a article with J.R. Ryder and Sam Mitchell that Doogie Wolfson did on 1500 ESPN. He basically, Paul summarized it. Paul, I did listen to it. Thank you for linking to it. Everyone else should check it out. It's definitely worth your time. It's not that long. It's like 40 minutes. The conversation with Sam Mitchell is pretty entertaining, but that's not why I'm sending this along. Listen to the last 10 minutes or so, an interview with J.R. Ryder. I recommend the entire thing in Doogie's comments afterwards. Doogie is arguably a bigger softball interviewer than Sid Hartman, and yet still manages to upset our old friend Isaiah. Pretty great. It's very true. JR was a little upset in the interview, and I didn't think he had reason to be.
Wait, why was he upset?
Just the questions about his like playing days and stuff. He like clearly was a little perturbed by.
Wait,
you
can't tell us. I have
you should
to
listen to learn more. Yeah, you gotta listen.
That's annoying.
Moving on to the last email, also from Paul. Paul, thank you for the email. Title was "The Ugly for the Portland Game." Paul said, "I was able to watch the Wolves-Blazers game last night and was thinking who deserved the most blame for the loss. I think it belongs to, quote, nobody. Why do I think, quote, nobody deserves it? Well, nobody was guarding Allen Crabbe all night and held him to 8 for 10 from the three-point line. That guy's defense needs some work." Paul, I agree. It's tough. It's tough when someone goes 8 for 10 from beyond the arc, and a lot of those were open shots. Brian, I don't think we're going to do good, bad, ugly just because there's too many games. There's 10 games.
Hey, we got Twitter questions.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
One tweet that we got, someone asked us, what is your favorite in-game treat? And I said, my favorite is the basic nachos or the surprisingly good fries. And Target Center Eats responded with, the challah nachos are our favorite. Burritos and brats are also pretty great. Have you ever gotten a burrito at the game?
No, I have not. No. Is Target Center Eats like a legit, is that their Twitter account?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like, oh, okay. Cool. That was a really insightful reply of Target Center Eats.
That was pretty good. I know.
Yeah. Basically, they just said all their foods.
Try all the food.
try the everything. All that. No, I've never tried the burrito. I can't speak to them. I have had, sometimes I am really hungry there. I get the personal pizza. It's, what brand is it? It's like a green logo Franchetta's.
DiGiorno?
No, it's not DiGiorno. Anyways, that's okay. Otherwise, my go-to treat is a tall $12 tap beer. Nothing beats it.
I agree. The other tweet we got was from Mike Lewis at Timberwolves Podcast. Our bench is terrible. At Portland, our starters had a positive plus minus, but bench got crushed. It's simple. Better bench equals more wins. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. Our starters are fine. Our bench is terrible.
Our bench is quite bad. But part of that is injuries. It hurt with Zach a little bit. But
I mean, our bench was probably the worst in the league before Zach got hurt.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe we just start Rush and bring Zach off the bench all the time.
I'd like to see that. I don't think Zach would love that, but I'd like to see
that. Well, he should get stronger and better defense. Okay, that's it for tweets. Where are we on time?
Do you think these guys, sorry, quick, do you think the winner of the Masters ever wears the green jacket again after they get the green jacket?
No, it's probably like, yeah, unless it's back to the Masters, really. You just have to hold on to it for that.
Yeah, I think that's true. I love the interview in Butler Cabin.
Me too.
I love when they ask him about like their shot, like Sergio, that last putt was so clutch. Like, how did you do that? well, I aimed at the cup and then I, let it go and it fell. I don't know. I'm hating on golf too much.
Yes, you are. What did I want to ask you? We never got in the draft prospects.
Oh yeah, let's talk draft prospects real quick. A little bonus content at the end. Brian, assuming we got the seventh pick, who would you like to see us pick? Draft Express currently has us picking Dennis Smith, the point guard out of North Carolina State. I don't know if that's the right pick for us.
So one thing that's really bothering me about all these draft positions and big boards, it's like they don't really have – they're draft guys, not NBA guys. And what I mean by that is like the Chad Ford one has Lauri Markkanen from Arizona. And he's been pretty much tagged with going to us all season because he's a stretch four. He worked really nicely next to Towns. He likes to play in the post. And it's like, if we get one more guy who can only play offense and can't play defense, we're just literally, we're never going to get any better.
Yeah, I agree with that. My guy, frankly, I don't know almost anything about college basketball. I got to qualify this. But I love Jonathan Isaac. He's a freshman out of Florida State. He's 6'11 with an even longer wingspan. He's really slight of build. He's only 205 pounds, but he rebounds. He plays defense. He can shoot.
Yeah, he got a block and a half per game. He shot 35% from three on three threes a game, which as a power forward in college is 35% isn't great, but it's not terrible. If you do that in the NBA, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, he's the type of player I think would fit. The fact that he's really young, is he going to contribute a lot right away? Probably not, but he's one of the missing puzzle pieces, his type of player. Brian, if we hit the lottery and get the number one pick, who would you pick?
Who would I pick with the number one pick?
Yes, with the number one pick. It seems like Fultz or Ball,
I think it's
the two guys.
Fultz. I just say Fultz because him and Ball were together all season as kind of the top number one picks. And then I watched UCLA's last game, and Ball didn't look very good. He can't do a lot on his own on offense. He's a great passer, but frankly, how is he going to be any better than Rubio? That's what I don't totally understand yet. I think he's a better open shooter, but I don't know. Ricky's shown that he's a great scorer now, so it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Other prospect breakdowns, Brian? You got other hot takes from watching the tournament?
No, I think Jonathan Isaac is one that I'm excited with too. And like, obviously you and I don't know a lot about guys in the draft, so he's just the guy that's kind of close to our spot slightly after us that he's cited as being a rim protector.
yeah, no.
So that's kind of why
I did watch him play in the tournament.
I feel good about that. Yeah, how'd he look?
He looked pretty good. I could notice him because he was tall and had high hair.
Yeah, he's easy to watch. So no, honestly, like I think we need a swingman who can play good defense, or we need a center who can play good defense because we don't have any of those. And so the next guy, Harry Giles might be interesting. You love his name.
His name's unbelievable. I don't think I could ever not at least smile when
we talk about his Harry Giles.
By the way, Draft Express has him going 24th currently. His stock is really
funny. Wow. He was like arguably the top prospect coming in this season.
Yeah.
He blew out his ACL, so that's a risk. But he's the other one that's close. Talent-wise, he's really high. But other than that, like, it's a pretty big jump to the next defensive-oriented guy. So I'd feel good with Jonathan Isaac. I'll be upset if we take Markkanen.
Yeah, I think I'd be a little upset if we take Dennis Smith as well.
No, Dennis Smith is great.
What do you think of Malik Monk?
Monk is good. Good scorer. Don't really need another great scorer, but I think talent-wise, he's really good. If we get Monk, we should. I don't think Monk will fall to us at 7 or 8.
Yeah, I don't think so either. All right. Well, that's pretty hard-hitting breakdown there. Chad Ford, we're coming for you.
You're pretty good.
You have anything else, Brian?
No. That's all I got.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening and sticking with us. Sorry it was 20 days. We'll get back doing this probably every 14 or so. Please keep the emails coming, TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at TWolvesPodcast. We appreciate you guys, including the international listeners. Talk to you guys soon.
Bye.